Starsports.bet provide the complete betting experience. Find us online via our website and app, on course, and at our flagship betting shop in London's Mayfair. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, thanks for joining us for the Racing Post Golf Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer, and Star Sports' Glenn Day. We will look back on yet another near miss. My goodness, these boys are hitting the bar. But never mind, we've got a great tournament as well in South Africa, the Alfred Dunhill Championship. So they're going to dust themselves down from last weekend's disappointment and go again. Our moment will come, chaps, won't it? But Glenn Day, goodness me, you nearly landed a 74-1 dream double last week. And loads of people on Twitter followed you in. Johnny Rahm got the business done in Dubai. But Webb Simpson just came up short in that playoff against Tyler Duncan. Have you got over it yet, Glenn?
Just about. Keep getting little memories come back. I thought when he was two shots in front, yeah, and he looked at the players behind him. Brendan Todd wasn't going anywhere. I just honestly thought he would just kick on from there and win comfortably. But unfortunately, couldn't get out of neutral and fair play. Tyler Duncan in the end, he looked composed coming down the stretch and birdied 18 twice. Yeah, but pain again.
It certainly was, and pain for you, Steve, as well, because you were all in on Webb Simpson and I don't suppose you laid off, but obviously you've got your new sense of perspective, so you don't care, do you?
That's it. No, I really needed the sense of perspective on Sunday. I mean, I really, really wanted him to win. There's no getting away from that. As a five-bag swing at the moment, that really would have been useful. But
the most important thing, Steve, how's your mum? Is she continuing to make progress? Because last week, obviously, we had the news that she was poorly, but things going the right way, yes?
Yeah. She's getting better every day. It's improvement every day. So no, that's on the up. But the betting is still very much on the treading water stage. I mean, he didn't do a lot wrong, did he, Webb? But you know, he sort of two shot lead going into the back nine. We were quietly confident at that stage. But Tyler Duncan, he was three under par for the closing four holes, and then dominated the playoff, didn't he? I mean, he was in charge of the playoff. I mean, that 18th hole was not ideal for Webb Simpson because it's the longest par four on the course, and you could see he was really trying to squeeze some extra yardage out, wasn't he, in the playoff? He had a big sort of ropey hooks, but found the left rough on both playoff holes, and Duncan dominated that playoff. But we go again.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but did you find yourself swearing at Sky and Robert Lee in particular during that closing stage? Because I like Sky. I'm going to go on a little rant here. I like Sky Sports Golf. I've watched loads, far too much of it down the years. It's not as good as it was, but it's still really, really good. Nick Doherty's excellent. They got some good guys. But on Sunday, okay, they did three things that drove me absolutely mad. First of all, okay, they put the women's tournament on the main Sky Sports Golf channel. So the American tournament was on the red button. I don't mind that. That's absolutely fine. So I'm watching it on the red button. All of a sudden, as Webb Simpson is standing over that five-footer for par on eight, or for birdie on 18 or whatever it is to get into the playoff, did you get this? Suddenly a green sign comes up that says the red button coverage is finished. So I've then got to dash across to the main channel. Thankfully, he's made the putt. So we're in the playoff. Okay, that annoyed me. Then they've teed off at 18. And all right, they've got a fair walk. They've hit it 300 yards. They've got a couple of minutes to kill. And they show an interview from the girl who won the women's tournament. Her English isn't very good. That's not her fault. But it made for the most boring, lacking in insight interview I've ever seen in my life. She didn't understand any of the questions. She didn't say anything of any note whatsoever. And you knew by the end of it that the guys were already playing their shots. So that annoyed me. But worst of all, second playoff hole, Webb Simpson hits a horrible, horrible hook. It goes out of sight. And Robert Lee goes, that's a snap hook into the water. So I think, oh no, it's all over, it's all over. And then they show him and he's in the rough. It's fine, it's fine. Did any of that affect you guys, or was it just me? Am I going mad here?
No. All three of those points are valid. I mean, I was on the red button. We weren't to know that it flipped back to normal coverage, were we? You know, you don't get HD on the red button either. So when it flicked back, not only was I angry that I'd been missing out on the action for a couple of seconds, but you know, it's high definition. So yeah, that was horrendous. But as you say, I mean, if Webb had missed that part at that stage, goodness only knows how we would have reacted. But fortunately, it got that one in. I mean, the women's golf. I mean, was that a women's major last week? I don't know. I always find
that. Yeah, I think it was. I think they said it was the most prestigious women's event of the year.
No, it's a tour championship, I think. It's their season-ending tour championship. But I don't want to sound like Alan Partridge, but I think it's political correctness gone mad when, that Sky Sports have built their following from people watching the men's tournaments like us. And I would imagine the viewing figures for the men's tournament was much greater than the women's, with all due respect. So
I don't know. They had some British interest, didn't they? Charlie Hole was up there, so maybe that explained it.
But you're right. When that long-winded interview was going on, the shots in the RSM must have been played. Yeah. So if you're betting in running that, and you're trading positions, like we all have massive positions, you know you're not going to be able to watch those shots remotely live. And then when they come back, as you say, then they showed the shot, and then Rob. Oh my goodness. I mean, the wife joined me for the denouement, the last sort of half an hour of that tournament. She was with me, and give her a little insight into what I have to go through on Sunday nights, because when Rob Lee said that, you think, oh, game over, and then he comes back and you're all relieved, and then he gets a shocking approach into the bunker and couldn't get up and down. But we don't know where he couldn't get up and down, because it didn't matter because the birdie went in. But yeah, that was classic American golf Sunday night horrors. But as you say, I've got my sense of perspective.
Yeah, worse things happen at sea, don't they? Glenn, were there any positives to take from last week? Were there any golfers that if there was such a thing as a golf tracker, would you have put any particular new players into there?
No new players. The only two guys in the American event that played well again were Scheffler and Denny McCarthy. You seem to say the same sort of names every week. They keep getting themselves involved. One iffy round sort of plays them out of it, but always there or thereabouts. And again, say it again, but they must surely win soon, surely.
Okay, and by the way, we also touched on the Dunlop Phoenix last week, didn't we, in which Matsuyama was the short price favourite. Who won that, Glenn?
They only played three rounds as well, and the last day got called off. But the guy who won it, Shugo Imahira, he's probably is the best player in Japan at the moment, obviously assuming that Matsuyama's a PGA player, but... Day two, Matsuyama, that's what done him. It was he had a 9 on the first hole, apparently his worst hole in golf. So obviously that was the end of his hopes there. Yes, and then only playing 3 days, he had no chance to get back into it. So it was
real blow for Matsuyama back as that fourth day was cancelled, because he was still well in it. He was in 8th place, 5-shot deficit. A leader who hasn't won much, so I fancy he might have got right back into it. Yeah, but he took a 9 on a par 4 in the start of round 2, and that changed the dynamics of the tournament a little bit. So, yeah, no good there. But we got a little bit of place money from Lewis and Peters, didn't we, in the DP World Tour Championship. If you had 6, 7, or 8 places, which a lot of the firms offer now, they both tied 6th. So there were some good points there.
And also, Steve, let's give you a pat on the back at the end of what's been a difficult year for you, it must be said. But you did tip the winners of the Race to Dubai and the US Money List. So that was a nice double, wasn't it?
Yeah. I've seen some tweets from people who had that double. And, if you're patient enough to wait the whole season for returns, then that was a good one. And there was some crazy bet that some fella had that I saw doing the rounds on the Twitter sphere the other day. We won an absolute fortune, and he had those two in a fourfold. I don't know if you saw that one. He won like 126 grand or something. So I'm hoping that I had a role to play in half of that bet.
Fantastic. That's great. Okay, we will be back in a mo looking at this week's tournament.
On the move, follow all the latest starsports.bet golf prices hole by hole on our website and betting app. Just search for Star Sports Bet on the App Store or Google Play. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Right then, welcome back. This week then, on the European Tour, they're in South Africa for the Alfred Dunhill Championship. Steve, does this mark the beginning of the 2020 European season?
Very much so, John. Yeah, just straight back into it. Yeah, no messing about.
Okay, well, the tournament rating, I reckon it's going to be somewhere between a 5 and a 6, Glenn. Am I right?
Nowhere near, Bruce. It's a very, very lowly 3 this week.
3, blimey. So it's not good. And when Glenn reads out Star Sports latest prices, you'll probably see why he's given it such a lowly rating. Away you go, Glenn.
50 odds the first 6 this week. 12-1, Christian Bezuidenhout. 14, Brendan Stone. 18, Brendan Grace, Eddie Pepperell and George Katsia. 20-1, Charles Schwartzel. 22, Ross Fisher and Xander Lombard. And 25, Justin Harding and Richard Sterney.
Hmm. So, Steve, is this where we see the first of the newbies, the rookies in the European Tour making their debut? There's some unfamiliar names here, I've got to say.
That's right. Yeah, you've got the Q School graduates. We had the Q School the other day, and you've got the Challenge Tour graduates. 15 come up from the Challenge Tour. So, yeah, lots of new names. I thought you'd like Benjamin Pope.
Who I was just looking at Benjamin Pope because I was going to say he's an 80-1 Pope. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew you'd enjoy him. Yeah, he ran away with the Q School, so we've got to keep an eye on him. Danish lad.
I also like the sound, Steve, of G. Higo,
yeah, there's some new ones in there for you, but yeah, I've got one Challenge Tour graduate I like this week, but the South Africans obviously normally dominate this tournament, and yeah, my number one tip is a South African.
How many tips have you got, Steve?
I just got two, very close to going all eggs in one basket again with my number one tip. I've decided to chase a little bit of place money as well.
And how many have you got, Glenn?
I've just got two as well.
Two. Okay, Steve, your main man is?
My main man is Brandon Stone, who... you know, absolutely destroyed this course 3 years ago. He pulverised the field, cruised to a seven-shot victory. And that field included Schwartzel, Grace, Van Ruin, Fratelli, Katsia, Ziedenhout, Pepperell, Wallace. He's not got as much to beat this week. There's no Van Ruin, no Fratelli, no Wallace. And Schwartzel has not competed for 7 months. He's been out of the wrist injury. He said it was very sore last week. He was unsure whether he's going to play. So I don't even think Schwartzel, despite his amazing Leopard Creek record, not even think he's certain to finish this tournament, let alone win it. So I couldn't believe Stone was a much bigger price than Schwartzel at opening shows. They've levelled out a little bit now. But yeah, on his debut at this tournament in 2015, he closed with a 67 for 18th place, ripped the course apart the following year. And then we've only had one Dunhill since then because they had some course modifications in 2017. They couldn't have a 2017 edition. So there's been only one Alfred Dunhill since Stone won. And he was in third place through three rounds, only three shots behind. Got off to a great start on Sunday. Looked like he was going to win back-to-back Dunhills. They made a triple bogey at the ninth hole, dropped away, finished 15th. So, yeah, a few horror holes cost him winning again last year. But his Leopard Creek form figures of 18-1-15. He says he loves the changes to the course. He's his comments about this course is a real love affair. He says that the Johan Rupert, the owner, made this course for me. You know, every hole sets up perfectly to my eye. And he's now got the form to take advantage of his favourite course. He feels like he's peaking for this tournament. I was watching the on-course interviews during the French Open and the Portugal Masters. He was contending in both of them. And he was talking about the swing changes he's made this year. He's taken on a lot of swing changes this year. He says they're finally starting to bed in. He also moved house from South Africa to England in May. You know, really unsettling effect there. All that sort of calming down a little bit now. And his golf is improving. In the French Open, he contended for three rounds and shot a final round 77. Then the following week in Portugal, he was two shots clear going into the final round. Played okay on Sunday, but Stephen Brown conjured the performance of his life, beat Stone by a shot. So a runner-up effort there. But the swing, the confidence is returning for Stone. He's going to his favourite course. He's been practising there for a while. Didn't qualify for the European Tour Final Series. He went over to Leopard Creek to get in some early practice rounds. So, yeah, I just saw no holes in Stone this week. He was 28-1 when Van Ruin was still in the field. Van Ruin pulled out. There's been the price has been coming down. But, yeah, I really make Stone the man to beat this week.
OK, blimey, a very rock-solid case for Stone there, Steve. Who's your number one selection going to be, Glenn?
My number one selection is Francesco Laporta. He's coming here in arguably the best form of anyone in the field.
Recent form. You tipped up the other week in the Challenge Tour event.
It is, yeah. Well remembered. He's on my list of players to follow, so it looks a good tournament to stick with him. Recent form, 3-3, 32-7, 1-14, 1. That seventh, tied seventh, was gained in the Rolex Series Italian Open. Event that was not short on quality. Justin Rose, Paul Casey and the winner Bernd Wiesberger were in the field. Gained a lot of confidence from that showing. It was evident on his next start when he won for the first time anywhere the Hainan Open in China. Two starts later, he won again at the season-ending Challenge Tour Grand Final in very tough conditions in Spain. A limited stats as most of his forms on the Challenge Tour, but he's a very tidy player whose game is built on hitting fairways and greens. He will undoubtedly be suited to tougher courses, but he showed he can take advantage of easier scoring conditions, as he did when he shot a joint season low 23 under at the Turkish Challenge, which included an opening round 10 under par, aided by four eagles. He'd be at home playing in South Africa in his younger days, spent a lot of time travelling there, up to 6 months a year to visit his uncle. And it was while he was there that he learned to play golf. He's also played 3 seasons on the Sunshine Tour in his earlier days. He had 1 season on the main European Tour in 2016 with limited success, and 2 goes here, both resulted in missed cuts. But last time he teed it up, he was ranked 822 in the world, and he currently sits at 124. He comes here full of confidence, and he can kick off his second stint on tour with a solid performance.
Okay, Laporta, you can get 40-1. I shouldn't think Glenn's offering 40s because I imagine he'd be ducking him. Steve, as well as Brandon Stone, who are you going to augment him with?
My next best is another Challenge Tour graduate. It's Connor Syme, who won on the Challenge Tour in April. And he's got regained his European Tour card. He had a nice tidy end to the Challenge Tour season, finished 14th in the Challenge Tour rankings. You know, he's going to be more experienced now, more mature, more confident in his second European Tour campaign. And he couldn't have asked for a better place to kick off that second season, because Syme has played a lot at Leopard Creek in the African Amateur Championship. They play the African Amateur Championship at Leopard Creek. He did well there, and in his last visit, in 2017, he finished runner-up in that tournament. So I don't have any concerns about this being his Alfred Dunhill debut. He knows the course, he likes it. And very solid all-rounder, Connor Syme. I think he'll float around on the leaderboard all week. And curiously, Scotsmen have a really good record in this tournament. There's always only like a handful of them in the field, but they seem to pop up at big prices. Last year, David Drysdale and Scott Jamieson were second and third. So I don't know why that is. Maybe it's a little, it can be breezy around the creek. Maybe that's it. Or
so there are a lot of just got to be luck, hasn't it, Steve? There can't really be any science behind that, can there? It's just one of those things.
Hard one to work out. I mean, there are lots of elephants in Scotland. Remember, this is Kruger National Park. It's one of the most beautiful visual experiences of the year, isn't it?
I saw an awful thing on the news about all these elephants dying in Africa. It absolutely broke my heart. My God, the news is depressing these days, isn't it?
Was that poachers, is it?
No, there's no water. It hasn't rained.
Oh, there's no water. Oh, my goodness me.
There were plenty of elephants in Malawi when you went, wasn't there? Do you remember when you went for Kevin Pulleen's wedding and your car broke down, didn't it, in the nature reserve and the elephants were trampling across you, weren't they?
I'll never forget that. Yeah. I was best man at Kevin Pulleen's wedding and, his car broke down in the middle of a safari park like that, a deserted safari park. Yeah, I think we're the only people in there with it. Darkness was falling, and we were in a sort of collection of trees, and we all knew that one elephant stomp away from certain death. You know, if the elephant had just emerged from the trees and trod on our car, we would all die. So I'll never forget that. And then fortunately, the ranger, we've only got one tournament this week, so I might as well get this anecdote give this anecdote what it's worth. The ranger realized that we hadn't emerged from the park. You know, he's about to shut the park and he thought, oh, I'm sure someone was in there. And then he came searching for us. We were stuck in the same location for about 3 hours.
There's no mobile reception, no?
No mobile reception.
And you couldn't get out to get help because there were wild animals running amok.
Yeah, too dangerous. I mean, a lion might come and eat you. But what had happened was Kev had driven over a rock or something. It sliced open the petrol, where they keep all the petrol in the car. So all the petrol drained out of it. That's why the car stopped. So then the ranger, fortunately, after 3 hours of us like looking up, literally praying for our lives, and the elephant didn't get us. Kev's got a very religious wife, so she was really going for it. The ranger turns up in his Jeep with a rifle, just going, what the hell's going on? And then he had to take us out of the park. Yeah, I will never forget that. Yeah, one of my many near-life experiences. near-death experience.
Okay, Glenn, who's your other selection?
Sorry, I just popped out for a bite to eat.
Oh, yeah, you missed a great... That was a good story, Glenn.
it sounds really good. Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Right, my second selection is also another Challenge graduate, Callum Hill, who coincidentally is a Scot as well. 25-year-old, delayed turning pro to complete his Masters in Business Administration, so the second string to his bow. As a result, he's only played 37 events in his career, already gained 3 Challenge Tour wins, adding 9 top 10s, and he's had a pretty decent start to his career. 26th place finish at the Scottish Open in a field that included Rory McIlroy provided a springboard to a tremendous run of form in the summer when he went 1-3, 1-7-3. two further solid finishes in European Tour events when he was tied 26th at the Dunhill Links, where he was tied second through 36 holes and tied 17th in the Spanish Open, a proof he'd have no trouble performing against a better quality of opposition. Short game skills, especially putting, are the strength of his game and were seen to good effect last time out at the Mayakoba Classic. And he ranked second in putts per green in regulation at the Dunhill Links. Starts the new season with his younger brother Ian on the bag, and like another young Scott, who is part of the same management group, Rookie of the Year Robert McIntyre, is a young player who looks destined for better things.
Okay, thank you very much, Glenn. Should we spin through the market leaders? Just a very quick line from you on the following. The Fav Bedeesen Hoot, do you like him, Steve, at all?
Well, he's probably never been favourite before for anything. I don't know whether he knows he's favourite, but yeah, I suppose a little added pressure if he does. But he's had a fantastic season, but his Leopard Creek form figures are miscut 56-18, so I found that very off-putting. So yeah, I respect him. I think he could win, but I prefer Stone at juicier prices.
Well, how about Eddie Pep, Glenn?
Yeah, very in and out recently. Seems to save his best form for Lynx courses. He did finish 6-2 starts back in the Portugal Masters. 8th here, 2015, missed cut in 2016. Again, where he sits in the betting, not for me this week.
Okay, Brandon Grace, I mean, at his best, he's a contender, Steve, isn't he?
Well, just on Pepperell, because I think you'll find it fascinating, Bruce. Do you know he ran out of balls in his last
tournament? I did see that, yeah.
Tin cup style moment where he kept whacking him in the lake and then he was disqualified for running out of balls. You can't borrow them off your playing partners, apparently. You've got to have it got to come out of your bag. So, yeah, I'm not sure about Pepperell. He's been bemoaning his putting and then he obviously had that meltdown there. I don't really trust him. Brandon Grace, not playing well enough. I mean, much is made of the nappy factor when things go right, but this is an example of a person who's become a father and his form has been poor. He's been nowhere near his usual standards since becoming a father. So, yeah, one for the anti-nappy factor brigade, which I know you're part of, Bruce. I mean, he got the President's Cup next month. He got a South African captain in the team, and Grace has got a magnificent President's Cup record. But it just shows you how badly Grace is playing. The fact Ailes couldn't pick him for that. So, yeah, no, I don't fancy Grace.
I've got, going back to Pepperell, Steve, I mean, I've got to say, I feel sorry for caddies when they get glared at because the golfer himself has hit a bad putt and tries to blame it on the caddy. But if my caddy didn't have enough balls in the bag, I would have a serious, serious problem. I mean, I have 25 balls in my bag. I mean, admittedly, I lose more than Eddie Pepperell does, but that's unforgivable, isn't it?
Yeah. I haven't looked into the details of how many balls went in, but I think, you know, Pepperell's a very headstrong character. He might have started doing it just for fun by the end of it. You know, he's I think he courts controversy sometimes. It's good for his brand to be the first player to lose all his balls. But yeah, I don't know how many that was. I mean, I'm like you. I always take about 20. You lose one a hole. It takes a bit of pressure off. But yeah, the size of their golf bags, you think you could have one little compartment with 100 balls in, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and finally, Glenn, what do you think of George Cotzier's chances?
Definitely got the game to play well round here. Long off the tee, got the power. Won recently, Vodacom Origins final. Player for me often flatters to deceive. And again, just where he sits in the betting, I just think he's just too short, no value whatsoever. So, you know, Steve with one, me with a couple, taking a chance on these young guns coming through and that they can make the step up.
Okay, jolly good. Just one tournament this week. Let's recap the selection. Steve, who are you going for?
Brandon Stone, Connor Syme.
And Glenn, who are your selections?
Francesco Laporta and Callum Hill.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. The good news is we've got two tournaments next week, the Mauritius Open and the Hero World Challenge. The bad news, it's the last podcast of the year. Amazing. Christmas comes around so quickly, doesn't it? So yeah, hopefully you can join us for that. What's happening between now and next Wednesday for the final podcast of the year, Steve? Got anything fun lined up?
Been a lot of children's parties lately. I think there's another children's party this weekend, but there's a good system in place at the moment where the wife and daughter go to the children's party while I stay with my son and we watch golf and darts. So hopefully that system stays in place. I mean, it's important education for Tommy Tiger. Brandon Stone's got a textbook swing. It's important that Tommy watches that as much of that as possible.
Absolutely. Glenn, have you got any fun stuff lined up?
Yeah, it's Sue's birthday this weekend. I know it's not very romantic. We're off to Newbury. We've been doing it for a few years now, but we're going back. We're staying in one of our old haunts, a place called the Crab and Boar in Cheveley. Used to have themed rooms based on other hotels around the world. It's changed hands in the last couple of years, but we're going to give that another go. But still looks very nice. Yeah, looking forward to a nice weekend.
Nice day at the Ladbroke Trophy, or the Hennessy, as it used to be called.
The Hennessy.
Who'd you fancy?
The Hennessy. I've had a quick look so far. First thoughts are probably Cabaret Queen, Willie Mullins thing he got off of Skelton, won well Munster National last time out. Yeah, it looks decent.
Do you still bet on the horses occasionally, Steve?
No. I wouldn't have a strong opinion on the Hennessy. Is that brandy? I don't have a strong opinion on that. If anyone wants to buy me some for Christmas, then they're more than welcome.
You're just darts and golf these days, aren't you?
Yeah, darts and golf. And then, it's more the greyhounds that I miss than the horses. I'm desperate to get up to Paul Ground Stadium and have a session up there, but it hasn't really worked out with family commitments and finances at the moment. So, yeah, one day, when I get back on the dog track, I'll be so excited. But, yeah, horses not for me. Maybe me, you and Glenn can have a trip to a Grand National one year, eh?
Or we'll go to Paul Dogs. I'd love to go to the Wimborne Road track. Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed. I'm back tomorrow for football, and then we've got racing on Friday. And if you can't join us for those, we would love to see you back here next Wednesday for the final Racing Post Golf Postcast of 2019.
Give them the haul!
Long-term golf markets for 2020 available now on starsports.bet, including the Open, the Masters, and the Ryder Cup from Wisconsin. 18 years and older only, begambleaware.org.